You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Golf Podcast from William Hill, the weekly golf podcast. This week with myself, John Gibby, in the presenter's chair, joined as ever by Dave Tindall. Hello, Dave, how are you?
Hello, John. I'm very well, thank you. I've just got that kind of post-Masters lull where I need to get going again because that high of last week, and even you watched it all.
I did, indeed. Yeah, I watched it all.
So it was a brilliant Masters, and we need to get going again, so let's do this.
Well, fortunately, there's two tournaments this week for us to look ahead to and to try and find out some value in a short while. But we'll start off by reflecting on the Masters. And it was a great tournament, as you said, played out over the 4 days. Nobody could quite catch Patrick Reed in the end. He went on to win. Do you think at this stage, having won his first major championship, do you think he can go on to win more, Dave?
I think so. He's won it at a young age. We've seen him be a star of the Ryder Cup. I mean, if he plot his career path, he won a PGA Tour event, he won a World Golf Championship event, he was a Ryder Cup star, now he's won a major. Yeah, I mean, he's got that kind of X factor between the ears. I mean, a lot's come out about kind of his relationship with his family and things this week, but it's all part of the story, I think, for him. It's what he's very, very focused, very, very determined, and you know, there are a lot of talented golfers out there, but he's got that maybe extra mental thing that can get him to the very top and to win the Masters. And I think it showed, didn't it, the way he finished it off.
Mm.
I think a lot of players could have buckled with Fowler and Spieth coming at him, but he just held firm. Brilliant.
Because it felt on the final day, especially down the back nine, that people were just waiting for him to fold. People were waiting for someone to go and get him, and no one quite did in the end.
No, I mean, he had a lead, so it's always good to sort of have the lead and be able to protect it, but it's easier said than done. And I think everyone thought Rory's in the perfect position, just sat in behind on his shoulder. He'll come to win his race, and it was Rory the one who had nothing, and Reid just delivered the little moments where you need to. He stood up.
You mentioned the poor performance there of Rory McIlroy. Do you think it was the pressure of achieving the career Grand Slam on that final day that really got to him?
I think that was an element of it. I think there's also the fact that it's just Augusta National itself as well, and Rory had that collapse there in 2011. He's almost sort of been repairing that big hole that it sort of blew in him from 2011. He's had this series of top tens, so he had those, but they were kind of backdoor top tens. They were sort of, oh, that's quite a good finish, but I was never really going to win. So this year he's moved it on a step to in contention in the final round, so maybe he's just having to do it in steps, and maybe next year he'll be there again and then he'll go and win. But yeah, he was just flat. It was disappointing from Rory.
Someone to put in a more impressive final round was Jordan Spieth, and it did really look like he was going to go and put it up to Reed at one point. And given it was quite a mixed week for him, he did finish it off very well.
Yeah, I mean, I saw people after his first round when he was leading, people on Twitter were saying, that's it, that's the end of the Masters, he's won. And then suddenly, by Saturday night, well, he's not even a factor. So that was a quick change. And then suddenly on Sunday, he comes there with a wet sail, and you're thinking, he can't, can he? This is just ludicrous. And he can do things at Augusta National that it seems no one else can. He can go on these ridiculous run of birdies, hole putts, play beautiful shots into greens. We saw a brilliant shot on the 13th on the final day. And Spieth is the one. I think Rory would like to sort of buy some of his magic dust off him at Augusta National, because Rory's just not been able to find those electric charges that Spieth can. And, you know, there he is. What is it, 5 Masters now? He's got a first, two seconds and a third. Brilliant.
Spieth was one who came with a late run on the final day, but Ricky Fowler was who ended up finishing second, and he's put in a great round on the final day as well.
Yeah, you've got the scoreboard up there. So Fowler walking off that 7th green was 8 under, finishes at 14 under, and he'll be thinking, if someone had handed him, you know, told him you can be 14 under at the end, that, will you take that? Absolutely. But Reid just held firm. But it was impressive by Fowler, because there were some question marks about him on in final rounds and how he's a bit flaky, but he did nothing wrong at all. And if you look at that final hole, obviously, we saw on TV, kind of talked it through with his caddy, where am I going to aim, played the shot, hold the putt, did absolutely everything you need to. Great, great bottle he showed there, but just wasn't maybe near enough at the start. He started the day four back from Reid. It's just a shame he wasn't a little bit nearer.
He is a relatively young man, Fowler. Do you think we're seeing a maturity grow in his game now?
I think so, and there's just a wave of them. I think it's right now that the four current holders of the majors are all Americans in their 20s, and that's Fowler as well. So I think he's certainly got... He's probably the next cab off the rank, if you like, to be the next US major winner.
So we mentioned some of those players towards the head of the leaderboard at the... end of play, Dave, but were there any other performances throughout the weekend that caught your eye or impressed you?
Well, I mean, one obvious one, because he is the world number whatever, is three, I think, John Rahm. I think John Rahm had gone off the boil, and people, he'd almost become the forgotten man. We talked on the last week's podcast how I think there were eight players up to maybe 14 to one or maybe 16 to one, and Rahm wasn't one of them. And you think, well, he's taken golf by storm, and no one's really talking about him. So he, you know, look at that. On the 14th hole, he's 12 under. He could have made three birdies and got himself into a playoff. So for him, he'd never really challenged in a major. He's done some great stuff in World Golf Championship events, regular events. But this was a real breakthrough week, I think, for John Rahm, because he put himself in the mix. And pretty much he did sort of wobble on the 15th, but he did play a very strong final round. Shot in the 60s. So I think that this is money in the bank. I think Rahm now will use this as a kind of springboard for future Masters and the rest of this year's majors. So he did catch my eye.
We'll get on to Rahm a little bit later when we talk about the Open de España. Yes. But you forget sometimes how new he is to the professional game, John Rahm.
I know. Last year he was kind of this new kid on the block making his Masters debut. And you think, well, I wonder how he'll do. And now you're expecting him to do well. Yeah. So he did live up to the hype. John Rahm. Just a bit further down, Henrik Stenson, even though you think, well, only seventh, he's won a major, but that was his first top 10 in a Masters, so maybe when you're looking at future Masters, he's one now you can maybe think of. And what about Tony Finau? Did you see, I presume you saw, how do you do that with your ankle and not then be carried off for 3 weeks? So to pop his ankle out, pop it back in, and then carry on and finish tied 10th. Amazing stuff. I don't know what he's made of.
I think I want a piece. So that was the Masters. Overall conclusions you draw from the week, Dave?
Yeah, I'd say it was a great Masters, and I think everyone thought a lot of the big names would be up there, and they were. It's just that maybe Patrick Reid surprised a few people, because he'd never really done that well. He'd had, I think, four previous goes at the course, but he was in form.
He wasn't that big in the outright betting for the tournament, was he?
Was he about 50s or something?
He was. I think I saw him even a little bit shorter.
Yeah,
than that
probably.
A
yeah. But it just goes to show that you can get bogged down looking at the top eight or nine names, but there are so many. It can go so deep in golf, and here he is. Here's another winner.
Patrick Reid, then, the 2018 Masters champion. And the golfing roadshow moves on, Dave, this week. The competition might not be quite so prestigious. We might not have all the big names there present in this week's two tournaments on the PGA Tour and the European Tour, but there are still winners to be found. And we'll start, shall we, with this week's tournament on the PGA Tour. And that is the RBC Heritage, the 50th edition of this particular tournament. Certainly, when you look at the betting, you call it the more competitive of the two tournaments taking place this week. Dustin Johnson heads to the Benga 8-1, Paul Casey 14-1, Matt Kuchar 16-1, Mark Leishman is in 25s, it's 28-1 for Cameron Smith, Tyrell Hatton 30-1, Brian Harman 30-1, same price for Adam Hadwin, and a 33-1 bar. And Dustin Johnson heads the betting for this one, Dave, after a fairly encouraging performance at the Masters. He tied for 10th.
Yeah, it was kind of, well, for him it was sort of okay. He never really got near enough to the lead, and that's how we judge him nowadays. 10th is kind of whatever for him. So he'll be hoping he can improve on that. But I'm not sure this is the course for him. If you look at the name of the tournament, the RCB Heritage, RCB is one of his sponsors. So I think he might just be...
That might be why he's here.
Official duty, possibly. Because it's not really his sort of course. It's narrow, it's winding, it takes the driver out of his hands. His big strength is kind of negated on this course, so...
It's like chalk and cheese, really, isn't it, Augusta National? And
yeah, absolutely. And course, in every way, this players like to come to this to sort of decompress. The Masters is so sort of tense and in your face. This is a sort of lovely little course, gentle course, sea breezes. It's just a nice place to unwind. And but for Dustin Johnson, I just don't think it's his sort of track. So, but I'm glad he's in the field because he sort of makes the market a little bit.
Yeah. Paul Casey's second favourite. He finished tied 15th. In the Masters final round, his best comfortably in that competition. Last played here in 2016, failed to make the cut.
Yeah, Casey, he came with absolute burst in the final round. I think he was on to shoot the first a course record, become the first man to ever rate 63, but just ran out of gas at the end. There were stories as well that he'd had a bad back at the start of the week, so that it's a shame that he started so poorly because he did finish like a Masters winner. 16-1. He did win the Valspar Championship, and a lot of people have said there's similarities between that course, Innisbrook, and this one, Hilton Head. So, given the fact he won there, he's an obvious one who could do well here. It's difficult. I don't know. You could say he's finished the Masters with lots of momentum, but then that bad back maybe just. Putting me off a little bit.
It's not long afterwards, is it, to come back?
Yeah. He's not really getting my attention at 16s. I think I want to go a little bit higher.
He is also 14th at the moment as well, so even... Less appealing then.
Yeah.
Matt Kuchar's third favourite for this one. He's got good form here. Hasn't been outside the top 11 since 2013. He won this tournament back in 2014 and finished on par in the Masters last week.
Yeah, I think he was tied for the lead at one point. Kuchar in the Masters, but he fell away a bit. That's sort of down the years. He's been 16-1 for about a million events, and he's won about two of them at that price. So when I see Kuchar at that kind of price, I don't mind backing him at big prices in majors. I backed him in the last year's Open when he was runner up at 66, but I'm not. I just see those sort of prices, and he'll come 10th, but you know. We want better than that. So I've just seen that too often and he's not delivered. Although he did win here once, as you say, but the usual for Matt Kuchar is to have a nice week but annoy punters.
I think we might be boiling up to a nice, tasty, juicy selection here, Dave. Am I right?
Well, ish. You don't have to go too much further down the betting. And he's actually, when you asked me at the Masters who else impressed you, I held back from saying this particular guy.
I see.
Do you want me to reveal all?
I'm ready.
Yeah. Cameron Smith, the Australian. We've got him at 28.
28-1.
28-1. Yeah. Excellent performance in the Masters. Tied fifth. I think few would have had him as one who could get in amongst the big boys. But, I mean, he got to the quarterfinals of the World Match Play. Showed some great stuff there. Was sixth in the Genesis Open at Riviera. I mean, he looks about 12. You think, what's he doing? But he's kind of like an Aussie Matt Fitzpatrick. He looks about 14. But Smith...
Did you differentiate between people that look 12 and that 14?
Yes. But Smith, you just think, really? But then you see him playing, you think, he's a proper player, he is. This event where it's quite windy, you need to shape your shots, it's suited Australian players... down the years. You've seen Aaron Baddeley win it before, Peter Lonard won it before, Greg Norman back in the day. So I think the Aussies tend to do well here. They like this. And he's the one playing really well at the moment. And as well as that top five at the Masters and the quarterfinal finish in the World Match Play, we've also got the added insurance of a bit of course form as well. He's played here twice, 2015. Shot a pair of 67s on the weekend to finish 15th. Really good debut effort. Then 29th last year, started with a 67. So he enjoys this course. He's in form. He never came under the gun. What I think a popular betting strategy after the Masters is you want to stay clear of those that were in the heat of contention. He's finished 5th, but he's kind of... he's just come into fifth from nowhere. There's been no pressure on him. No one expected it.
So the opposite of Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So he's had a free run at it. He's come fit. Everything about his Masters performance is money in the bank, and it's all good. So I think he can ride that wave a little bit on a course that should suit him. And he's my pick at 28-1, or first pick, shall I say.
First pick, then, Cameron Smith, 28-1 for Dave Tindall in the RBC Heritage. We want to hear about any a slightly bigger prize you might be interested from an each-way perspective, Dave. Should probably put in a mention as well for the defending champion, Wesley Bryan, 125-1, but hasn't shown too much form since last year's edition.
Yeah, no, he grew up here, so this is kind of what he played a lot in college, so he proved he put all that local knowledge to good use last year, but yeah, as you say, out of form and the added pressures of being defending champion, I think he might just be in for it. We saw how Sergio struggled to defend.
Yeah,
attacking and 13. Then some. Yes. So it can be an added pressure. So he's not one for me, even though the odds are big for the defending champion, you have to say.
So who would you be looking at for a slightly bigger price selection
then? Well, there's a few up there. There's Siwoo Kim. I think we've got him at 80s. The Players' Championship winner, won at Sawgrass.
Yep, 80-1.
Yeah. I think he can certainly make a challenge. Kevin Na, do we have him at about, maybe looking around 50s?
Oh, yep, exactly.
Yeah, Kevin Na at 50s.
50-1.
Big thing with him, he never wins, but he does bank a lot of top fives. We're first six, I believe.
We are top six each way.
So Kevin Na has been very kind of good for each way punters. If you don't get too het up about him not winning, that 50-1 is still a good each way price. And you never know. People said Paul Casey would never win again in America, or at least he was driving people mad. But he ended a drought that had gone back to 2009 when he won the Valspar. So Kevin Na, this is his sort of course, so he could go well at 50s. Jason Kokrak,
66-1.
He's another one who could play well. Admits he loves the course. But I'm going to go back a bit higher in the betting again, or lower, however you
those are the two options here, Dave.
However you decide to categorise what I've said. Lower, higher?
A shorter price.
Shorter price, right. Yeah. I'm turning to Bruce Forsyth.
Yeah.
Kevin Kistner at 33-1. I think he is absolutely made for this course. It's his perfect track. Short course, Bermuda greens. You have to shape your shots. It's not all about power. It's about craft and guile. And Kevin Kistner, you look at his performances on lots of similar type venues on the PGA Tour, such as Wyalee, where's the home of the Sony Open, Sea Island. He's won that one. He's finished top five twice in the last 3 years at the Sony Open. And in this event, he's a former runner-up. So he's been there and done it on this course. Tied 11th last year when he had another good chance to win it. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen him get to the final of the World Match Play. Well, that was an excellent effort down there in Texas. And then at the Masters, tied 28th doesn't sort of, you know, make you go, wow. But that's not his course. That's too long for him. And 28th was his best effort there. So I think someone, when someone produces their best effort on a course, even though it might be 15th or 20th or 25th, you've got to take note, because it generally means they're in good form. And you've got to say that about Kistner. He's putting well, hitting it straight, and I think those are two really good attributes you need for this course. So I thought 33-1. It's one of those weeks where he could have been 22s or 25s, and I would have gone, shall I put him up? But 33 is absolutely, I'm pulling the trigger.
Kevin Kistner, the each-way selection at 33-1. But your main number one selection, Cameron Smith, 28-1.
Yeah, I'm going to go Cameron Smith as my top one. I just think he's got that energy and that momentum from the Masters, because it's such a big thing to go there amongst all those great players and to finish fifth and produce your best on the final day. So everything was just positive for him there.
Fantastic. Well, we move from the RBC Heritage to the Open de España, formerly known as the Spanish Open, but we're now keeping it cultural.
Yeah.
Dave. We're keeping it European for Spain's championship event. And in contrast with the RBC Heritage, this is an event that's more about the one player against the field. Jon Rahm is 7-2 to win this tournament. Rafa Cabrera Bello at 14-1. Paul Dunn 20s. Pablo Larrazabal 22-1. Andrew Johnston 25s. George Coetzee is also 25-1. Eddie Pepperell at 33s. It's 35-1 bar. We were talking about John Rahm earlier on the podcast, Dave, and he has a chance here to delight the home crowd.
Yep, and even though he's kind of gone to America and played all his college golf there, and he's sometimes people forget his Spanish, I think, because he's just appeared as this fully formed figure on the PGA Tour.
He hasn't got a very Spanish name either, does he?
No, I think he's from the Basque country somewhere. Maybe they don't have quite the
stereotypes I might have in mind.
You've taken the words out of my mouth. Yeah. I don't want to pigeonhole you there. So. So John Rahm, he's not from... This is in Madrid, just north of Madrid, I think, this course. Even though he's a Basque lad, as they might say. he played a couple of years here in his kind of youth golf. So he says he's played the course numerous times. So I think when I read that little snippet, I thought, right, because it's a new course. It only opened, I think, in 2006.
Right.
When he was still, I think, 14. Same age as Cameron Smith, looks-wise. But although John Rahm looks about 30, doesn't he? He's just
Well, this is what I was saying earlier on about, you know, his inexperience and forget it, or you know, newcomer status, and sometimes people overlooking that.
Yeah, but... just with that course angle, I did wonder, to begin with, he's probably never even heard of this place or never seen it, but he's played 2 years, then played it a lot. So it's one of those ones, he'll probably go and win, to be honest.
So 7-2 is very
good. Do I want to back him at 7-2? Not really. So, yeah, it's up to you. Sometimes it pays you to keep it simple in golf betting, and people might want to throw him in as a double with someone in the other event. But the downside would be you're coming from the Masters, different time zone. But maybe it's good for him to get straight back on the horse. I mean, he is 23. He's not like an old fellow who's going to be tired. And so there's no real excuse. And I think maybe the problem for him might have been the adrenaline going out, but here he is back in Spain. He's going to be the centre of attention.
Yeah.
I think it gets him up again, and if he plays his best golf, he wins. It's that simple.
It's his first time tournament since turning professional. Do you think that could have an impact as well?
Well, I think he'll just want to delight the Spanish crowds. I think they don't get to see much of him as a rule, so it's a perfect chance, isn't it, to show what he's got. But yeah, not for me at 7-2.
So we take a look through the betting, and we can see Rafa Cabrera Bello has spoken of his wish to add the national tournament of his home country to his CV, if you like. He shot 3 over in the Masters, but he's put in some recent good performances. It's time for third in the Mexico Championship. Would he potentially be one to consider at 14-1?
I think he'll be up there, but again, he's a player who doesn't win that much compared to what his price is. He's sort of like a Kuchar in that sense. He's going to go off in a field like this at that sort of price, but he really does struggle to get over the line. But if you think 14-1 is each way, I can see him certainly being up there and giving you a return. But the problem of taking someone maybe around 14, 16s, 18s, they've got to get past John Rahm.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I'd rather back in it. A player where I'm going to get a big chunk of each way back, and that's what I'm going to do, John. That's what I'm going to do.
Are you?
Yeah.
Do you want to reveal your
pick
now?
Shall I go straight into it, or do you want to talk about any more?
I had one more I was going to bring up, which is the defending champion and cult hero, Andrew Johnston, at 25-1, and
yes,
a player who has been returning to form somewhat in his recent performances.
Yeah, Beef's played some good golf this year. People maybe still just think he's having a bit of a laugh, and he's Mr. Popular and waving and doing funny things, and he is doing all those things. He's very popular, signs all the autographs, but he's said at the start of the year he's going to focus a bit more. He's not just kind of a kind of novelty act.
He's going to focus on the golf rather than having a nice day out.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was, but just the extra, he's just got to remind himself, first and foremost, I am a pro golfer.
Yeah.
And he, as you say, he's played some nice stuff this year. Won at Valderrama, which was an iconic course, host of the Ryder Cup. So he's got very positive memories of Spain. And I think, yeah, he could certainly go well at 25-1.
He is the defending champion. But by the sounds of it, Dave, you're not tipping him up to be the champion this year. Who is going to be the champion of the Open Day España 2018?
Well, I'm going to go double the price at 25 and go jump down to 50-1.
Or jump up to 50-1.
Yeah. It's all semantics, whatever. Stephen Gallagher at 50-1 is going to be my pick. Played in the Ryder Cup on home soil a few years ago when he was really in great form. Had some injuries and difficulties since, but basically over the last 3 or 4 months, we've seen a lot of good golf from him. He's not missed a cut for quite a long time. Last three starts, tied 9th in the Oman Open and tied 7th in the Indian Open. So 2 top 10s in his last three starts for Stephen Gallagher. That's really impressive. He's been hitting lots of greens in regulation as well. So, you know, he's basing this on strong tee to green play. Putted quite nicely as well in India and Qatar, where although he was only 39th in Qatar, he was tied 2nd going into the weekend. So even though it didn't work out for him, I think that was a good sign that he is back. And obviously that's sandwiched between a pair of top 10. So basically, he's in excellent form. His stats look good, and he's played some nice golf in Spain before. One tiny little extra thing: the weather. If you were going to Madrid this weekend, John, what would you be expecting to wear?
I would hope flip-flops. I'd be wearing a t-shirt.
Yes,
it's not something I wear a great deal of.
No.
Shorts, perhaps a sun hat.
I don't think you will be though this time. It's
disappointing.
It's rain and about 12 degrees. So it's not the best weather in Spain. So Stephen Gallagher, Scotsman, knows about grotty weather. Might just help him a little bit. Maybe if it doesn't help him directly, it might just be a bit of a negative against some of those who, you know, were just hoping to sort of go to Spain, have a nice weather Spanish Open. So he'll be one of those inconvenienced by, I think, Stephen Gallagher. So just a bit of everything, I think. The course form, I haven't even said course form, have I? What am I talking about? He has got course form as well. It's just that it's very old. I think that's why I've forgotten about it. He played in an event here 2007. I know that is 11 years ago, but it was his only appearance at the course, and he was tied 8th. Now, on its own, that's doesn't make the entire argument. When you put it alongside the other elements, it's quite nice to have in the bag. So clearly, when he went there back in 2007, shot 68, 69, 69, final 54 holes, he'll get back there and think, yeah, I've done well here before, which is always good for a golfer.
In April 2007.
Yes. Yeah. Hopefully he's got a good memory.
When I was still in primary school.
Good grief.
That's why I played that up there. He's the main selection then.
Yeah, 50-1. I think Rahm will win, but if I'm playing it each way, I want someone at a big, juicy each way price where I can get, you know, quarter of that back or whatever it is.
We're already at 50-1, but is there anything else you want to just throw in a little mention for?
Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño. We've got him at 66, I believe. He is from Madrid. He's been playing nicely as well. And I met him once, so there you go.
Was that not? I met him once, and he said, "Oh, Dave, I really fancy my chances."
Tell me on the podcast.
Back in Spain,
it was funny. This year's Ryder Cup is in Paris,
right?
When they were bidding for it, Madrid were bidding for it, and he was sort of part of their committee. So I went over to be wined and dined by the Spanish Ryder Cup bid.
Right, were you on the selection panel?
No, I was just someone who would hopefully write nice things about.
Right.
And it was a great bid, and they were all lovely, lovely people, the Spanish.
They always are, aren't they?
Yeah, they were the warmest people I met on that little tour of trying to be influenced. But no, they were just genuinely nice.
Sounds very shady.
No, they were genuinely nice people. You can tell if people are just trying to sort of, you know, twist your arm or whatever. But they were just warm, nice, friendly people. I thought, oh, I really like the Spanish, you know.
Yeah.
That was my main thing coming away from that trip.
And anything about his golf that makes you think he might play well?
No, I just think he's a good bloke. But okay. No, he played well. I actually put him up on this podcast a few weeks ago, and he got us an each way return at 125 to 1, I think. Oof, so it's not just sort of for those reasons, but obviously the big reason is Madrid, isn't it? This is near Madrid. This is his hometown. So I'm thinking when he goes back, he's now based in America. When he goes back there, he'll have an extra buzz, I think. So, I mean, you forget, or you probably never knew, but he's a seven-time European Tour winner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there you go. So he's not just sort of some fly-by-night. He's a proper player, Fernandez Castaño. And I think he went back to an old coach, which has helped this recent spell of good form, which includes a couple of top tens on the web.com tour. So he's someone who knows how to win. So I think 66-1. In front of his adoring Madrid fans, he might just produce something.
Is he a selection, or is he just a mention?
Having rambled on like an idiot for about 5 minutes about him, it would almost be a crying shame if I didn't have half a point on him, I think. So okay. I will have half a point each way on Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño. But my main bet in this one will be Stephen Gallagher, point each way at 50s.
So, Dave Tyndall, would you like to remind the adoring crowds of your selections across both tournaments this week?
Yeah, after they've had to listen to that Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño tribute for the last 5 minutes. Back to the American event, and I will go a point each way, Cameron Smith at 28, and a point each way, Kevin Kisner at 33s. And then in Spain, I've just said, a point each way, Stephen Gallagher at 50s, and half a point each way, Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño.
We are playing six places at a 50 odds for both these two tournaments. You can find the markets in full on the William Hill website, williamhill.com. Go to the golf section and enjoy this week's golfing action on the PGA and European tours. Tune in to next week's edition of the Golf Podcast for more great bets. And Dave, thanks for joining us as ever.
Yeah, thanks, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.